Hey there, welcome to the Student to CEO podcast. I'm your host, Ashley Mason. We're talking to entrepreneurs who launched their business at a young age and they're now killing the game. Tune in to our episodes as these guests spill the dirt on taking that leap into entrepreneurship just like they did. Hey everyone, welcome to today's episode of the Student to CEO podcast. I'm so excited to have Jenny Sunesson joining us today. Jenny is a podcast launch strategist and manager and the founder of the popular podcast marketing agency, Savvy Podcast Agency. The Savvy Podcast Agency helps female creative entrepreneurs launch and grow their podcasts and start generating leads on autopilot. Jenny, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, I'm excited to be here. This is a little different than what I usually talk about, so it's always fun talking about different topics.
Love it. And I'd love if you could start off by sharing with our listeners what you do and what led you there.
Yeah, so I am currently a podcast launch strategist. I have a podcast management agency, and I have two subcontractors now that help with, like, you know, just the day-to-day stuff with my clients. And then I have an editor on my team. So I have about three team members now, which is not what I expected. I kind of just like expect to be a solopreneur forever. But so I actually, kind of dialing it back a little bit, I started in social media management. That's what I got my degree in. Or not really, not social media management. I got my degree in PR. They didn't offer that at my school, but that's like what I really started doing when I got to the corporate world for a little bit. And I really liked it, but it just was, to me, I don't know, it was very oversaturated and I was like not passionate about it anymore, especially I just recently had a baby about 6 weeks ago. So it's very time consuming. And podcast management is like not as time consuming because you don't have to be on the clock 24/7 like you do with social media management. Mm-hmm. Because you're like responding to DMs and comments and stuff. So that was kind of the turning point for me. I mean, I started switching to podcast management once I realized I was, like, before I knew I was going to have a baby, but once I had the baby, I was like, oh, I'm glad I did this because I can't imagine like trying to manage social media with a newborn because it's a lot. So that was what I did corporately. I worked at a local mall and I did all their marketing stuff, mostly social media. And then from there I started my own business after about, I guess, like 6 months of working there, I started my own business. And then eventually I left in January of 2017 and then never looked back, basically.
Yeah. And good for you. And I mean, since I've known you, it feels like forever. I mean, since the blogging days, it's just been like so cool to see all these transitions that you've been making from graduating college and then going into that corporate job and then transitioning to Confetti Social, which later became Savvy Podcast Agency.
Yeah.
So I feel like I know your life as well as you do.
Pretty much, yeah.
But one thing that I want to talk about is really what you had mentioned with the whole corporate aspect of having that job for a little bit before realizing that you wanted to go off and do your own thing. Because I know that's what a lot of our listeners are focusing on themselves, is they have a job that they're not really enjoying and they're ready to kind of become their own boss. So I have kind of like a two-pronged question for you. What was your realization that made you realize you didn't want to be in corporate life anymore? And with that, what was kind of your process for transitioning out of it?
I think it was a job itself. It wasn't very fulfilling and like no one listened to me because everyone else was older than me. I was the youngest by probably 10, 15 years. And they were just like, oh, some stupid millennial doesn't know what she's talking about. No one outright said that, but you know, they never listened to my ideas. So that was what I gathered from that, even though I did have decent ideas and, you know, I was the one doing the social media, but everyone else had input on the social media. I'm like, do you even have a social media channel? Like, So it basically was really the job. I didn't like it. The mall that I worked at was kind of a rundown mall. They didn't have cool stores. So there was nothing motivating in that aspect. I wasn't like, oh yeah, like I would shop at all these places. I wouldn't. So it was just like, that was part of it. And the way I transitioned out of it was actually, it's kind of a funny story. So my boss ended up leaving and going to another mall. She was like the marketing director basically. And then from there, I took on some of her duties, but obviously they didn't increase my pay because, you know, why would they do that?
Seriously.
And then the general manager of the mall ended up leaving too. They all like left within a month stint. So we had like a stand-in general manager. And at that point in time, I'm like, well, I have leverage because all these people are leaving and they're not going to want a third person to leave. So basically I asked them if I could go down to part-time hours, which was, that took a lot of like convincing. And I literally sat and like had a conversation with myself on multiple occasions and talked myself out of it. And finally I just went into his office, the stand-in GM. And I was like, hey, like, I know you guys have a lot of people leaving recently and I don't want to leave you high and dry, but like I have this side venture that I want to do and I've been working on it for a couple months on the side and now seems like the perfect opportunity to drop down to part-time hours. So I ended up going part-time until I got married or until after I got married. So I wanted to like make sure I had insurance first. That was like my big thing because like self-employment insurance is not cheap. So obviously not everyone has this option, but for me, that's what it was. I needed that insurance. I needed that kind of to make sure that I felt secure. So once I got married in November of 2016, then I dropped down to part-time hours until the end of December. And then January 1st, 2017 was my first like day full-time self-employed. So that was kind of the turning point for me and how I kind of eased into it. And I think it was a really good way because I was able to work at the office 3 times a week and then have 2 days to myself. And then finally, at that time I was able to like get a lot of more clients and stuff because I had those 2 extra days and I wasn't just completely thrown into it. Like, oh, great. I have like 2 clients. What am I going
to
do?
Yeah. I think that's really smart to just be able to have that idea and bring it up to your boss at the time and just say like that you want to transition from full-time to part-time, because I think that that's one thing that a lot of budding entrepreneurs get really conflicted about is they think that they either need to have a job full-time until they're absolutely ready to quit and focus on their own venture, or they need to just quit and go all in and hope for the best. But I mean, your experience and your story shows that you're able to kind of make your current career work for you. And then therefore you only had that part-time hours for what it seems like is probably 2-ish months. Is that correct?
Yeah, it was only about 2 months. Yeah, and it ended up working out really well. Like, I just can't imagine, like, completely just throwing, like, telling them, hey, here's my 2 weeks, I'm leaving. And, you know, I would have been terrified to do that. So I was kind of glad that I just proposed that part-time thing because it was, like, helping them, but also helping me at the same time because I had seen all that turnover and I didn't want them to feel like I was just, like, throwing in the towel like everyone else did, but I also knew that it would be easier for them to agree to that because of the turnover. So who knows if there wouldn't have been turnover, if that would have actually worked in my favor or not, but it ended up working out. So
yeah, and it led you to where you are today. So there you go. And one thing that I want to ask you about too, which you had kind of mentioned and what I have had also hinted at too, was that you first started with Confetti Social, which focused on, of course, social media management and all of that fun stuff. And you had shared that you really wanted to make that switch once you realized that marketing, you kind of have to really be turned on, quote unquote, all the time. And so besides that being an indication of you wanting to make a transition out of it, was there anything else that made you realize that you wanted to make the shift in your business?
Yeah, I mean, mostly just like knowing that, you know, I was gonna eventually have kids and I just wanted to make sure that I was able to fully outsource it. And with social media management, I didn't really feel comfortable giving it to other people. Like Pinterest management is fine because it's not as hands-on, but like writing captions and things like that for Instagram, I just didn't feel comfortable outsourcing that to people. And with podcast management, they're not writing the content at all or anything like that. So it's just like uploading and writing show notes based on what, you know, our clients have given us. So it's not as hands-on in that sense. So that was really the other reason too, just not having to be as hands-on with the client. And also just like, I noticed so many people who were social media managers at the time and it just, you know, everyone thought their dog could manage a social media channel. Yeah. And I'm sure that's something you see a lot of too, since you still do that. So it's just like, you know, I didn't feel like dealing with that. I mean, I knew that I was good at it, but I just didn't feel like doing that. And I still do manage social media for podcasters. So in a different sense, but that's also not as pressing either because they're not getting tons of DMs or comments or anything. It's just kind of keeping up their presence for their podcast on social media.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think one thing that's really awesome about what you did with this transition with your business in terms of what you were going to be offering and who you're going to be serving is the fact that you actually did it. Because with a lot of entrepreneurs, I mean, we kind of have our almost like tunnel vision on what we need to do and how we need to do it. And we're scared to make a change. And we think that we're almost like frauds for changing into something different than what we were when we started, which is so far from the truth. And so I think it's really admirable that you took this transition and acted upon it and made you realize that it was something that would be so much better for you in the long run.
Yeah. And I think it's good to evolve. And a lot of people are scared of it or think that it makes, like you said, makes them look like a fraud. And that couldn't be further from the truth. Cause you know, you did create your business to have that freedom. And if you feel like a kind of a prisoner to your own business, then you're not serving yourself properly and you're not serving your people properly. And that's kind of what I started to feel like. I started to like really dread waking up and I would like go do the dishes or do like house stuff before doing business stuff, which
yeah,
you should not feel like doing that. And now I don't do that. Now I'm super excited. And now that I have a team as well, it's helpful too, because not all the pressure is on me. I'm able to outsource things and, you know, take care of my son. And that's just really, really nice, because, you know, if I would have still been doing social media management and have the agency model, I think I would have been in a lot harder of a place to take a maternity leave and to really be able to focus on my son, you know, in the extent that I'm doing it now. So it's one of those things that you just kind of have to see, like, do you hate what you're doing now? Cause if you do, then why are you in business for yourself? It's okay to pivot, and people just need to, get comfortable with pivoting if what they're doing right now is not serving them, because, you know, people will notice, and you're not going to get clients that way if you're not showing up like you need to.
Right. And the pandemic has proved to us how important it is to pivot.
Yep. There's so many businesses that were in person that all of a sudden, you know, gyms started offering online stuff, and, you know, all these restaurants really stepped up their to-go orders and things like that. So, yeah, it's definitely one of those things that you need to be comfortable with pivoting, and it's a little scary at first, but in the long run, it's most likely going to serve you a lot better than what you were doing previously.
Absolutely. And when you made that transition from Confetti Social to the Savvy Podcast Agency, did you suddenly kind of launch it and then try to get new clients, or was it almost like a soft launch where you were getting some podcast clients before you officially made that switch to the podcast agency?
Yeah. So I actually did have at least one podcast client. I'm not sure if I had any others, but I know I had at least one, because I did like VA services too, which, you know, entailed more than just social media management. We kind of did other things, and this client came to me and wanted to help with her podcast. So I was like, oh yeah, that sounds cool. I mean, I have a podcast myself. I've never managed someone's podcast before, but I manage my own. So how hard can it be? So then I did this person's, and you know, that was back in October of 2018 before I even launched Savvy Podcast Agency, which was June of 19. So I had some experience doing it. And then from there, it kind of just snowballed. And I was able to get more clients doing that. You know, I kind of kept on my social media clients for a while because I didn't want my income to drastically drop. But, you know, once I got more podcast clients, I started dropping social media clients here and there to kind of make room for the podcast clients. But I just didn't want to like have like all of a sudden just have one client or two clients.
Right.
That's a little scary. So yeah, that's kind of what I did. And I actually still work with one of my long, long, long term social media clients just because I love her so much, because we've been working together since 2017. But most, like pretty much all the rest, I just dropped off. And people still come to me and like, oh, do you still do social media management, VA? Like literally. And wow. I'm like, not anymore. But yeah. And then I like refer them to other people or whatever. But yeah, it's so funny how whenever you're like not wanting that business, it comes to you. But yeah, when you're like sitting there waiting for it, it wasn't there. You're like, oh, okay.
Yeah, absolutely. And one thing I think that's really cool about like these two kind of like, I mean, I don't want to call them two businesses because it kind of like was a transition, but I mean, you did have separate services. So technically, right. But with those businesses, I mean, they kind of fall in the same overarching umbrella of content marketing. So did you find that clients from Confetti Social or even people within your network from having that business kind of led into the Savvy Podcast Agency?
Yeah, totally. So one of my long-term clients that I still do social for, she actually launched a podcast this year too. So then she was like, hey, I actually want to, you know, work with you for podcast management as well. So yeah, some of my clients did kind of cross over, but even so, like, I'll get recommendations for people that, you know, saw the transition or like, oh, you know, I'd love to refer you to this person or that person. I know you made this transition, now you need podcast management. So just having people in my network was helpful, not necessarily like clients, but just people I knew and knew that I made that pivot and they were able to refer people to me. So it wasn't like the referral stream completely dried up. In fact, I think it got bigger because there are less people that do podcast management to refer people to. I'm sure there's still tons of people that do it, but it's not as much as social media management. So I was getting more referrals because people didn't know other podcast managers.
Exactly. And especially too, because of the services that you offer, I mean, it makes it so that people don't even really have to dabble into handling anything of their podcasting besides just doing the actual interview. So,
exactly.
Yeah.
And which of course, there's people that want, like, you know, just editing, or they want like the full package, but it really just depends. But, you know, a lot of people end up like realizing, oh, I don't want to do any of this, so I'm outsourcing all of it.
Exactly. And I mean, and you've also, especially as you mentioned, received more referrals because of the fact that podcasting just gets bigger and bigger year after year.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So since you started your business while you had your corporate job, what was the most difficult part of starting your business while young?
I think it was just like managing it all. So when I actually started my business, which was June of 2016, I kind of just took on random clients for Pinterest and random services as I could, as they came to me. But I think that really the hardest part for me was juggling everything, because I had my corporate job. I was actually in grad school at the time. I was getting a master's in social media marketing, which is funny because I don't even use that anymore. But I was in grad school at the time. I was also planning my wedding.
You got a lot going on there.
I was juggling a lot of things. And at the time, obviously, I didn't have too many clients. Like, I was doing mostly Pinterest revamps, not like ongoing monthly services. So it wasn't as time consuming, because I could just take on like a couple projects and then like be like, okay, I'm booked until, you know, the next month. And because it wasn't ongoing, but it was just, there was a lot going on. So just kind of keeping up with it all. And that was like the hardest part for me. And then I didn't have a hard time finding clients, which is surprising. I feel like it's a little harder these days, but back in, you know, 2016, it wasn't that bad, because I would just go into Facebook group and people would be like, oh my God, yeah, I want help with Pinterest, or I want help with Instagram or whatever. But I feel like obviously now there's more people that are doing that. There's more people that are doing podcasting as well. So, yeah, so it's a little harder to find people on Facebook groups these days, but I didn't really struggle with the clients part. It was mostly just managing my time and like making sure that I was still spending time with my fiance at the time, now husband, and, you know, able to keep up a social life with all the different things going on. Cause I think a lot of people fall into that. Like, they're either at work or they're working on their side hustle and there's like no in between.
Yeah, exactly. And I think too, especially just, I mean, managing that job that you had and then also trying to manage the side business, but it goes to show, I mean, if you started this in June 2016 and then went full time January 2017, that's only like 7 months, which is amazing.
Right. Yeah. And I'm not going to say that I had a full-time workload when I, January 1st, 2017, definitely did not. I had a couple months that were a struggle, but I had saved up money to make sure that if that was the case, I was covered and I could pay my bills. Cause obviously at the time I had just gotten married and we were just combining our finances and stuff. And I didn't want to be like, hey, we just got married, now you have to pay for everything. Yeah. So I had saved up quite a bit of money and just like in case, and I did have to tap into it. But, you know, it's, everyone's situation is going to be different. Whether, you know, you have enough clients to leave or you save up money. So in case you don't get enough clients, but you just want to focus on the business and not have to worry about splitting your time between the job and your business, it's really up to you. And there's so many different ways to go about it. There's not just like one clear way to do things. So
right.
That's kind of what I did, because I wanted to make sure that I had extra money and I wasn't like living day to day, trying to get clients.
Stressing about it.
Yeah.
And on the opposite end, what was the most rewarding part of starting your business while young?
I would say really just being able to say that I have a business, like to my friends and just people that I met, because they were always interested. Cause you know, I didn't usually say that whenever I was still doing corporate, but like once I quit, obviously I was like, yeah, I do social media management, and I'm self-employed and whatever. And people were always impressed by that. And it was cool. I didn't really face any people like that were like, oh, what do you know? You're only 24 yeah. or 25 or whatever. No, I know some people do face that, but I didn't really face that, very often. People are like, wow, that's really cool. And they'd ask me questions about it, even adults, which obviously I was an adult at the time, but I meant like older adults. But you know, a lot of people face like criticism. I didn't really run into that. But yeah, it was rewarding and I just felt really accomplished. And it was the most focused I've ever felt, you know, like at my day job, I would just kind of go through the motions. But as soon as I started my own business, it was like, whoa, a light bulb, like turned on. It was like,
yeah,
so different. Obviously I struggled to work from home the first couple of months because I wasn't used to it. I would just like watch TV. And like, since I didn't have tons of clients, I had extra free time. But yeah, I mean, it was definitely a transition, but it was still really rewarding to be able to have something that was your own. And, you know, you set your own hours, you set your pay, because at my corporate job, I was not making a lot of money. Like, it was really sad. I was like, wow, I went to college to make this amount of money. This is really embarrassing.
And as you mentioned, with that job that you had to take on extra responsibilities and of course didn't get the right promotion with it or the right pay raise. So it never seems to work out that way.
Like, you can be a marketing coordinator instead of marketing assistant. I'm like, okay, a title helps get another job, but it doesn't help put more food on the table.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And Jenny, between the two ventures that you've had, what do you think led to your success with them?
I would just say me putting in a lot of time and a lot of work, because I think, I mean, obviously you don't need to put in countless hours for something to be successful. But for me, that like, I was so in love with doing what I was doing that I was working 10, 12 hour days, which you don't have to do that to be successful, but I just liked it so much and I loved it so much. I know you've put a lot of hard work into your business as well. So, I'm sure you feel me there, but yeah, it was just, you know, putting in a lot of time and effort and kind of pivoting as things happened. At first I was throwing spaghetti at the wall and hoping it stuck. But then I realized that wasn't really the method to go about it. So I was just doing things, testing things, trial and error. And then once something like really worked, then I went full force with it. So that's kind of what I was doing. And you know, whether it was with my clients I already had, with, you know, marketing to get more clients, whatever it was just kind of a lot of trial and error at first. But then once I saw what worked, then I really honed in on that and focused on that. And then things kind of got taken to the next level at that point. And I will say that this new business, since it's way more niche, it's so much easier because it's just like, you know, I know exactly what to focus on. I'm just talking about podcasting. I'm not trying to be like, oh, let's talk about Pinterest marketing, or let's talk about Instagram marketing, or let's talk about Facebook. You know, it was just like, it's one solid core topic that I can really focus on to market to future clients. And it's been a lot easier to really hone in on things there because it's not all over the place. And when I was first launching, I was like, I want to do podcast, Pinterest, and project management, like the three P's. And I was like, what am I doing? Like, I'm just setting myself up to focus on more stuff than I need to. So then someone told me like, no, just go all in on podcasting. Like, I don't know why you're trying to do these three things. And just like, I guess I was scared to really hone in on one topic. But in the long run, it's been way more beneficial. And they always say like the riches are in the niches. And I didn't really believe that. But now I'm like, oh yeah, that makes so much more sense because I'm not trying to market three different sectors. It's just like services within the podcasting field.
Yeah, absolutely. And one thing that you had mentioned that I really want to highlight is the fact that you just put in so much time and work and energy and effort and all of that stuff into being able to grow your business. Because one thing that I often think about is that, like, yes, the hustle culture, which has been getting, for some reason, more and more trendy over the past few years, shouldn't be glorified, but I do believe that at some points it is necessary. So like, same what with you, I'm imagining, like, of course, like having to spend so much time and effort building your side venture before you go full time. And then of course, making sure you're getting more clients after going full time is really important. And then like, that's how you're able to grow, is by putting in all of that time and effort.
Exactly. Yeah. And a lot of people think you can just start a business and all of a sudden clients will like flock to you. And that's just not the case, especially at first. You really need to build your reputation, build the like known trust factor, get to know people, network. Otherwise you're just not going to get clients if you're a service-based business. And that's, you know, that's the end game goal. So it's going to be a lot of work at first. And then obviously now I'm 4 years in and, you know, I have a team and that helps me with things. So I'm not working as much. And, once you get your systems and processes in place, it makes it a lot easier too. Cause a lot of people at first, you don't have those systems. You don't have like an onboarding system. You don't have those different systems set up for you. And once you have those, then you can also start working a lot smarter instead of like spending 12 hours a day doing random admin tasks or like, oh, let me create this custom proposal, but I don't have like a Pensado or something like that. So I'm like, you know, going through and trying to make it in Canva or all these things. Once you have your systems in place, that takes a lot of time off your plate as well.
100%. And if there was one thing you wish you did differently or one thing you know now that you wish you knew then, what would it be and why?
The thing I wish I would have done differently is just when I first went full time, just not that I didn't take it seriously because I did, but really just tried to focus a lot more in the beginning. Like, you know, January and February were kind of like, ooh, I don't know what I'm doing. And yay, just like my husband would come home and he'd be like, oh, how's your day? And like, oh, you know, like I watch TV. So I wish I would have like focused a lot more in the beginning to get more clients and which I thought I was, but like looking back, I was like, no, you could have done a lot better job and you could have worked a lot harder instead of being like, oh, I'm just going to watch TV, or whatever. So just kind of like hindsight is 2020, of course, but, really just putting in that and work in the beginning, like once I decided to go full time and really just that would have set me up for success more. And focusing on setting up my systems then too would have been more beneficial as well. And I didn't do that until like March, so 2 months in, I was like, oh, I should probably get some systems down.
Yeah, exactly. And I feel the same exact way. It's like, I felt like in the beginning of my business, if I had any type of spare time, I was always trying to say like, well, what could I do next to like grow my business and stuff like that. But you're right. I mean, like it's kind of hard to get into that mindset and everything and the whole systems thing. I mean, you like hit the nail on the head with that because I know that I was just kind of doing like throwing spaghetti at the wall and hoping that it stuck with a lot of my systems and processes. And now I look back on like things that I've set up and I'm like, oh man, I don't even want to think about how many hours I've wasted in the beginning trying to just do all of these things that are now on autopilot.
Yeah, totally. I'm the same way. Like you spend all this time and effort trying to do these things and you're like, oh, wow, this could have been done a lot better in the beginning, but I digress.
Yes, seriously. And why do you think it's so important for individuals to start a business at a young age specifically?
Say just because you're able to really own that thing and have that fire about something. And I think that was what made me really passionate and want to push forward more because I had this thing that I was doing and I just really wanted to make it the best that it could be because I didn't want to be a failure, especially so early on. And I just didn't want to have to go back to corporate. So that was kind of my main drive. And I think that's a lot of people's main drive too.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's a great point is just kind of thinking about the end goal and where you want to be and then setting yourself up to get to that point.
Totally. I agree.
And Jenny, this has been such an awesome episode where you shared so much helpful advice. But now I'd love if you could share one last piece of advice for our listeners for someone who may just be starting out.
Yeah. So my one piece of advice would be to not be afraid to get started, whatever you want to do, whether it's a service, whether you have courses you want to create, whether you want to create like products, doesn't matter what you want to do. Just don't be afraid to pursue it because the longer you wait, the harder it will be to get that momentum. And, you know, people need what you have to offer today. So you're kind of being selfish by not putting it out there, in my opinion. So, you know, just go for it. Don't be afraid. Obviously there's a lot of factors that go into it. You know, money is one of them, but if you're really passionate about something, then money is not going to be an issue and you'll be able to make it work no matter what, because you have that drive and that fire.
What you just said was so powerful. People need what you have to offer today. So you're being selfish by not putting yourself out there. That is just boom.
I know that sounds really harsh, but it's true. It's like, you know, if the longer you wait, the longer you're gonna, it's gonna just sit there in the back of your mind and you're gonna be like regretting it, and you don't wanna have regrets, right? So just make it happen. And maybe a slow start, but make it happen.
Yeah, it's like that whole idea, which I've been trying to repeat to myself over and over, is that selling is serving. And so what you have to offer, which is exactly what you just said, is something that the world needs. So you're doing a dissatisfaction or giving your audience a disadvantage by not telling them that you have what they need. So it's so true to remember.
Yeah, for sure.
Awesome. And now, Jenny, I'd love if you could share with our listeners where they can find you online in case they'd like to connect with you further.
Yeah. So my website is savvypodcastagency.com. If you're interested in starting a podcast or have any questions about that, you can check me out there. And then I hang out the most on Instagram, and I actually recently just changed my handle. It's Jenny Sunnison. So JennySunnison. And yeah, that's where I hang out the most. So feel free to hit me up there and let me know if you have any questions about podcasting. I'm more than happy to chat about it or anything in general about starting a business, because everyone has a different journey with starting a business, but there are definitely things that are similar, like, you know, the different feelings that come up and some of the systems and stuff. So I'm more than happy to chat about that with you guys if you have any questions.
Awesome. That's great. And I'll make sure to include those links in the show notes in case anyone missed those. But Jenny, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me. It was such a fun conversation.
Thanks so much for listening today. I'd love it if you could subscribe, leave a review, and share this episode with those who could use it most. For show notes and more information, go to studenttoceo.com/podcast.